Scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Hear now the word of the Lord. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we thank you for this window into the early church. Lord, we pray that as we examine these words, you would guide us and you would show us how we can be more faithful and more faithful, Lord, to your vision and your desire for the body of Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are two facts about our modern culture that don't really seem to fit together. And the first fact is that in the 21st century, we are more connected than ever before. Through modern transportation, we can visit people on the other side of the country or even the planet in just a matter of hours. Through the internet and social media, we can keep track of what's going on around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Through our cell phones and our texting, we can communicate with people anytime, anywhere. So there's no doubt that we are more connected in the 21st century than we have ever been before in human history. But the second fact seems to contradict that first fact, and that is that even though we're more connected than we've ever been before, we're also more lonely than we've ever been before. Study after study has shown that Americans, particularly today, feel more alone and more isolated than ever before. And so the question becomes, why do Americans feel so lonely when we're more connected than ever before? And the answer that the Bible gives is that you and I were created for community. Not digital community like Facebook, but real human community with real human relationships. And when we don't have community, not only do we not flourish, but we suffer because we were not made to be alone. But I want to actually take it a step further than that. The Bible doesn't just tell us that we need community as human beings. The Bible tells Christians that we need the church. Now, I'm surprised how often today I hear people who claim to be Christians say that they don't think that being part of a church is important. You know, they'll say things like, well, I can have a relationship with God without the church. I believe in God, I read my Bible, and I pray, but I don't need to go to church in order to be a Christian. Now, that idea would have been totally foreign to any of the Christians in the New Testament, and it would have been totally foreign to Jesus. We need to understand that the church is essential, and one of the primary reasons we need the church is that we cannot grow spiritually without it. I'll say that again. We cannot grow spiritually without the church. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, Jesus says, in order to be spiritually fruitful, you have to stay connected to him. Now, you might think immediately, well, Stephen, that says connected to Jesus, not to the church. But hold on a minute, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen to how Paul describes the church. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Did you catch that? Paul describes the church as Christ's body. Now follow my logic here. If we cannot grow apart from Christ, which Jesus says in John 15, and the church is Christ's body, then this means we cannot grow apart from the church. I'll say that again. If we cannot grow apart from Christ, and the church is Christ's body, then this means we cannot grow apart from the church. It's that simple. We need the family of faith if we're going to grow spiritually. And you know, one of the best illustrations for this that I've heard is the illustration of a redwood tree. Redwood trees hold records for being some of the tallest and oldest trees in the world. Apparently, some redwoods have been calculated to be as much as 2,000 years old. Some of them are also over 300 feet tall. So how do these trees get to be so big and so old? Surely they must have a massively deep root system in order to live so long and grow so tall. But actually, what's interesting is they don't. Redwood trees have a relatively shallow root system. It's only 5 or 6 feet deep. And the reason they can live for so long and grow so tall is because their roots are intertwined and interlocked. Generally speaking, redwoods grow fairly close together, and so they interlock and intertwine their roots, and that stabilizes the trees, and by holding one another together, they can grow for hundreds of years and hundreds of feet tall. In other words, redwoods sustain one another, and they need each other to grow and survive. And the exact same thing is true for Christians. We also need the community of faith, the church, if we're going to grow and thrive spiritually. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. So what is the nature then of Christian community, and how are Christians called to live together in community? Well, Acts chapter 2 gives us an answer to those questions. Because in this short passage that we read, we have a picture of what the fellowship among the first Christians looked like. And in this passage, we see something not only about the nature of community in the Christian church, but the practices of Christian community. So first of all, what do we see here about the nature of Christian community? Well, when we look at the church here in Acts, we notice two things. First of all, we notice in Acts 2 that the church is not a building. It's not a building. And this was painfully obvious at this point, because at this point in time, church buildings didn't exist. The Christian movement in its early stages was just a ragtag group of Jewish people who believed that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. They had very little money, they had no social status or privilege, and they certainly didn't have any buildings. And so, in this sense, the word church referred not to a structure or a building, but to a group of people. In fact, the Greek word ekklesia just means those who have been called out. That's the Greek word for church. It refers to people, not to a physical structure. And we need to remember this today, because even still today, it can be tempting and easy to think of the church as a building. But the church is a group of people who are called out of the world and who gather together to worship Christ and serve Him. This is why, instead of thinking the church as a place we attend, we need to begin thinking of the church as a community to which we belong. And we say that again because that's worth hearing. Instead of thinking of the church as a place we attend, we need to think of the church as a community to which we belong. The church is not a building. That's one of the things we notice about the nature of the church here. But another thing we notice in Acts 2 about the nature of the church is that the Christians in the early church gathered in two distinct ways. Verse 46 says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Now, notice there that they gathered in two places, in the temple and in their homes. They gathered for large group worship at the temple. Remember that the first Christians were simply Jews who believed that Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah. These are people who had been worshiping God at the temple their entire lives. And so when they became followers of Jesus, they didn't immediately stop going to the temple. They stopped going to the temple later when they were ostracized from it, but they gathered together at the temple for large group worship. But they also, we see in this passage, that they gathered in homes for small group fellowship. They ate together. They prayed together. They spent time together in their homes. We learn later in Acts that some of the first church groups, really, were meeting in homes. So I want you to notice the pattern here. They were gathering in the temple, and they were gathering in homes. They were gathering for large group worship, and they were gathering for small group fellowship. And you know, both of these were integral to the Christian community in its earliest days, and I believe both should be integral to the Christian community today. We need large group worship. We need to gather on Sunday mornings as an entire body where we can experience the fullness of Christ's body and where we can come together as a complete congregation to worship God. But we also need smaller group fellowship. We need other gatherings besides Sunday morning where we can really get to know one another, where we can study the Word together, where we can pray for one another. And both of these things are important in the biblical picture of the church. If one of them is missing, then we are not embracing the full picture of biblical church fellowship. Now, in spite of this, many people today only want to embrace 50% of the equation. On the one hand, there are people who say they don't need to go to church because, well, I'm part of a Bible study that meets at a coffee shop once a week, and that's my quote-unquote church. When I was in college, I had friends who were part of a campus ministry that would meet weekly on the college campus. And many of them did not attend church on a Sunday morning because they said, well, campus ministry is my quote-unquote church for the week. And what I wanted to say to them is, no, that is not church. That's a group of friends who are all in the same age group, but who don't represent the wider body of Christ, don't represent a true congregation where we're submitted to one another in an accountable membership system. It's not the fullness of the church. So that's one problem. But then the other problem is there are people who go to church for large group worship on Sunday, but they never get involved in any fellowship beyond that. For this group, Sunday worship is sort of like a box that you check off each week. And once you've done that, you've completed your religious duty. And once again, this is not embracing the fullness of the church. Church is more than just a service to attend. It is a family of faith or a community of believers. And the only way that we can develop relationships in that community is by connecting with people in some context beyond Sunday morning. The only way we grow spiritually is by sitting down with one another and studying God's Word together and praying for one another. So the church in Acts was not a building. It was a worshiping community of believers who gathered together in both large and small groups. And if we're going to embrace the fullness of the church today, we need both of these realities. But this passage doesn't just tell us something about the nature of Christian community. It also tells us something about the practices of Christian community. What were those practices that were central to the fellowship of the church from its earliest days? Well, this passage shows us at least five of them. First of all, it was a worshiping church. Verses 46 and 47 tell us that they attended the temple together and they were praising God together. You see, they recognized that the primary purpose of the church and the primary purpose of our lives is to worship our Creator. And what this tells us is that the primary purpose of the church is not about us. It's about God. And if at any point the church becomes more about us than about God, then it has lost sight of its true purpose, because worship should be absolutely central to the life of Christian community. Secondly, it was a studying church. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what this means is that they recognized that the apostles were Christ's appointed leaders, appointed by him to carry on his teaching. And they wanted to learn this teaching and apply it to their lives. And I don't believe that a church can be healthy today if it's not a church that is devoted to studying the Word of God. If we don't study the Word of God, then we won't know the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, then we can't apply the Word of God to our lives, and it will not shape our churches. So we need to be a studying church. This church in Acts was a worshiping church, and it was a studying church. Thirdly, it was a praying church. Verse 46 says they were not only devoted to the apostles' teaching, but also to prayer. And I think one of the major differences between the early church and many churches today was their commitment to prayer. You know, if you read the book of Acts, you will see prayer all over the place. They prayed when they were choosing a new apostle. They prayed when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They prayed when they chose the first deacons. They prayed when they commissioned the first missionaries. They prayed while they were in prison, being persecuted for their faith. They prayed all the time. And unlike so many churches in the Western world today, prayer was not a formality or an afterthought, but prayer was the lifeblood of the church. They were a praying church. Fourth, they were a giving church. Verse 44 says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." What this shows us is that these Christians were not connected in superficial relationships. They were connected in sacrificial relationships. They loved each other. They served each other. They sacrificed for each other. They didn't seek their own interests and preferences, but they sought out the interests and preferences of others. And you know, this kind of community is radically countercultural. It's this kind of sacrificing community that attracts the attention of the world and causes the world to ask, what is it that would cause these people to love one another in this way? And the answer is, we love because he first loved us. They were a giving church. And then fifth, they were also a multiplying church. Verse 47 says, "The Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." The early church multiplied and it grew like wildfire. And we always want to ask why and how. You know, there are so many different books written today about how to grow your church, how to find the secret formula for church growth. Is there a secret formula for church growth? And I don't think that there is. I don't think there is a formula that guarantees church growth. And I think that the reason that the Christian community grew in Acts was not because they found the secret formula to church growth, but because they were committed to these basic purposes of the church that we already outlined. They were committed to worshiping wholeheartedly, to studying rigorously, to praying unceasingly, and to giving generously. And a church that does those things is going to be a church that multiplies. You know, as we step back and look at this picture of Christian community in Acts, I think this provides us by a standard by which we can periodically measure ourselves and ask how we are doing as a church. We need to be constantly reminded that the church is not a building, but it's a community of people, a worshiping community who gather not only in large group worship, but also in smaller fellowships. And then we should ask ourselves, are we a worshiping church? Are we a studying church? Are we a praying church? Are we a giving church? Are we a multiplying church? Because if we're going to embrace the biblical picture of Christian community, these are the things we should be about. You know, embracing the New Testament vision of the church begins with individual Christians recognizing that we need the body of Christ if we are going to grow. It's just that simple. Just like the redwood trees can only tower so tall because they support one another, if we are going to grow spiritually, we need the fellowship of the church. As Jesus himself said, we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in him. And we cannot abide in him unless we abide in his body. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this picture of the church that we find in the book of Acts. And Lord, we recognize that we so often fall short of who you call us to be in Christian community, but we pray that you would help us to become more and more like what you call us to be in the scriptures. Lord, help us to not focus on the things that the world focuses on, but to be a worshiping community that glorifies you and that lives out the purposes that you have set forth in Scripture. May we be continually built up as a church, and may you continue to use us to bear witness to the gospel in this world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.